Hello and welcome to another Thought for the Day from New Milton Evangelical Free Church. Let's come to God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you in this way. We pray that as we look at your word now, that you will open again our hearts and our minds to what you have to say to us. Speak into our day, speak into our lives. Encourage us, exhort us and challenge us, we pray, through what you say. And above all, point us to the risen living Lord, who is the shepherd of our very souls. In his name we pray and for his glory. Amen. So we're going to read from Genesis chapter 15. We'll be looking at the whole of the chapter, but we'll only be reading a few of the verses. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. What's the oldest that a man has ever fathered a son? Well, if you look in the Guinness Book of Records, you'll see that several are recorded. Some of them, it says they're not actually confirmed reports. And up above, in the top 10, as it were, is the singer Julio Iglesias, who on July the 26th in 2006, at the age of 90, fathered a child. And indeed, in the UK, on July the 1st, 2020, Bernie Eccleston, at the age of 89, fathered a child. Above them is a man called Ramjit Raghav in India, of course, who on October the 5th, 2012, beat all of those records when he fathered a son at the age of 96, having previously fathered a son 2 years earlier at the age of 94. Pretty mind-boggling stuff, isn't it? When you look at the age of mothers who have mothered a son, there are none older than 50. 50 is about the top age at which records indicate that a woman has had a child. So we have this couple, Abraham and Sarai, who are old. Abraham is 98, getting on for 100. Sarai is about 10 years younger than him. And God has said to Abraham, I'm going to give this land to your descendants. But Abraham has no children. And so it is when this word comes to him after this battle of these kings and the meeting of the king of Melchizedek, the king of righteousness, the king of priests, that the vision comes to Abraham. And first of all, there is an assurance as God says to him, Do not be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield, your very great reward. Now that's battle talk, isn't it? Abraham has just foregone the spoils of battle, having rescued Lot and all of his kin and the other inhabitants of Sodom, as well as all of the others who belong to the other kings. And Abraham has refused to be enriched by these Canaanite kings, saying that he made a promise to God that he would not accept anything from them. And God says, I will be your reward, Abraham. Furthermore, when you go into battle, it won't be a question of you fighting for yourself and looking out for number one. I am going to be your shield, Abraham. And Abraham immediately raises this question. How is this going to be? How is it going to be that my descendants will inherit this land if I don't even have one son who will be my heir? And God therefore brings his word to him It won't be this servant who, at the moment, by your kind of law, is actually going to be your heir, who will inherit your estate. It will be a son of your own flesh and blood. That's an incredible promise, isn't it? This nearly 100-year-old man, with a wife who is far past the age of childbearing, are being promised that they will give birth to a son. More, Sarai, we are told, is barren. So this isn't just an age problem, it's a medical problem. She is unable to produce children. Nevertheless, God brings his word in assurance to Abraham that Abraham will have a child. What do we do when we get these assurances from God? When he says things like, "I will be with you, I will never forsake you, I will not leave you alone, I will go ahead of you, prepare your way before you. There is nothing in your life that will come to you if you're a believer in Christ that can actually deter or comes as a surprise to the living God. Nothing." What do you do with those assurances? Are they good enough for you? Well, let me tell you something today. They are not good enough for God. What do I mean? As well as bringing these assurances to the mind of Abraham in this vision, God is intent on not only assurances, God is intent on promises. "You will have a son of your own flesh and blood, Abraham." And we're told in that magnificent verse in verse 6, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. God, Abraham's intrinsic trust in the word of God, the promise of God, was the basis of his standing before the holy God. God credited it to him as righteousness. We have seen that Abraham is not perfect. He is a sinful man. He does things that are actually against the moral nature that God requires of human beings. And yet God covers his sin with his belief in this given word of God. So what do you do when you come across the promises of God in his word? Are they good enough for you? Well, let me tell you again, they're not good enough for God. For God not only gives assurances, not only gives promises, God brings us into covenant. And we see that a little later in this chapter. God made his covenant with Abraham in verse 18. What's a covenant? A covenant is an agreement between two parties, either of which can stipulate conditions. That's a human covenant. When it comes to God's covenants, and this is very important in the Bible, God gives the conditions and man is the recipient of them. God determines the terms of the covenant and man in that covenant adheres to them. So in this covenant with Abraham, what do we see that God requires of Abraham? Why, nothing. It's surely just something that God is saying he will do for Abraham, irrespective of who or what Abraham is. And in that measure, this is a picture of the covenant you are now in if you are in Christ. What has God required of you in order to procure your salvation, in order to make certain the fact that you will live with him forever when Jesus returns? What did you have to do to make that yours? And the thrilling answer is nothing. You see, it's the same pattern, the same picture of this covenant of God. We see further in this picture that it's sealed in sacrifice, and this was a part and parcel of how they cut covenants, called a cut covenant, not just a made covenant, because it involved these animal sacrifices, and the animals were divided, cut in half. And the recipients of the covenant and the giver of the covenant would pass between them. It's like they were saying, "May this be done to me, what's been done to these animals, if I break this agreement." And we too have a covenant that's sealed in blood, do we not? Imagine if this covenant was not sealed with the blood of animals, it was sealed with the much more precious blood of a human. Well, God doesn't require that. But imagine if there was a covenant that was sealed not just with the blood of a man, but the blood of the eternal Son of God. And yes, that's your covenant. Are the assurances of God not enough for you? Well, they're not enough for God. He makes promises. Are the promises of God not enough for you? Well, they're not enough for God. He makes covenant. And in Christ, you are now in that covenant, held by his mighty hand, wrapped around by his love, included in something that was given to you freely and without cost, because Jesus paid for it with his own blood. What a mighty Saviour. What a magnificent gift. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, make our hearts leap within us with the joy of all that you have done in your precious redemption of us. Lord Jesus, how we praise and thank you for your sacrifice upon a cross so that we might live. Help us to live in the light of that today and to know you in our lives in all of your glory, all of your fullness. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.